Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Talk on natural approaches for preventing and overcoming the flu. As we approach the holidays and the winter time and the weather's starting to get chillier, we notice that there's an increase in flu and colds. Part of it has to do with the fact that we have all these decadent holidays that occur right before the winter time. We have Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas right after winter starts, and Hanukkah, which just started yesterday, I believe, and we have Kwanzaa, and we have whatever other celebrations people decide to have. And this is all great because this is the season to want to connect with people. It's a season to show love and share and care and all that, but we also have to show self-care. And a lot of the reason people get colds and flus at this time of the year is they're coming from this hustle bustle of holidays and creating a lavish gift giving and creating lavish meals, and the immune system goes down. So today's presentation is going to be focused on how do you support your immune system and take care of yourself so that you can prevent the flu. And by the way, anything that I talk about that will help you prevent and overcome the flu applies to colds. And some of the slides that I've given you actually say both colds and flu because it's really similar. It's just one is a little bit more severe than the other. So before we begin, I want to make sure that you're aware that everything that I'm teaching you today is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare provider. It's not something where you're just going to dump the doc and do what I say. I want to make sure that if you're under the care of a doctor that you check in with them and make sure that whatever I'm sharing is also in alignment with the kind of care and whatever conditions you have. All right. That all said, I've got some great ideas because guess what? Colds and flus are viral infections. And when you go to a doctor for a cold or a flu and they hand you a prescription for an antibiotic, my recommendation is run the other way and find another doctor because antibiotics don't work for viruses. And they actually can make the virus worse because what it does is it kills off the competition, basically. It kills off the bacteria, some of which are your good bacteria, which protect you. But it basically levels the playing field and makes it so that the viruses have more impact on your body. So today, what I want to share is the importance of supporting your immune system. That's the critical take-home message. But I'm also going to give you some things you can do if the immune system fails and this stuff takes hold, because I want you to have some practical strategies. But the reality of it is we really should be preventing, not reacting, right? It's always easier to prevent than it is to react. But should some of this stuff take hold, I'm going to share with you my secrets for if I feel like, whoops, I'm like let myself down, I've been pushing myself too hard, I feel like a little tickle in my throat. At that very first sign of a tickle in your throat, or at the first sign of a tickle in the throat of someone who you are in close proximity to at work or at home, then you need to be taking some of these steps to prevent it from taking hold of you. So we're going to talk about the nutrients, the herbs, the essential oils that I think everybody should always have on hand, just so that if something comes up, you're not at like 2 a.m, you're going, okay, there's no health food store open right now and I can't get online and have Amazon get it shipped to me within the next hour. You have that stuff in your quote unquote natural medicine cabinet. I want to talk about the foods that you need to avoid to inhibit your immune system, the foods that you need to include to support it, and we'll go into details on some protocols. All right. So just a little bit of background information on your immune system. You may have seen me use this slide before because it's one of my favorites. It's basically your immune system is the shield against the environment and the invaders from the outside. And that's what your immune system's job is set up to do. It's set up to protect you from foreign invaders. We call those antigens in the body. So anything that can attack you and take hold and cause problems is an antigen. It presents to the immune system as, hey, here I am. What are you going to do about me? Nanny, nanny, nanny. I'm going to try to beat you. And you want to be able to have an immune system that knows how to recognize these things and knows how to wipe them out instantly. And when your immune system isn't set up that way, I'm going to teach you some ways that you can get it there. So the things that it protects you against: bacteria, viruses, fungi, yeasts, molds, food particles. The protein constituent in foods can actually be an antigen to your body if you've had a leaky gut, or in some cases you're born with certain fixed allergies that you got passed on from mom, but most of the time it's related to leaky gut. Dirt. Dirt can be seen as an invader, right? You go out and you're mowing the lawn and you get a bunch of dirt up in your nose, your body starts sneezing. That's your immune system doing its thing, right? And hopefully, because the dirt is just there temporarily, boom, it goes away. You don't continue to sneeze and cough for days on end like you would if you had some sort of allergy. But if it's an invader, that's what the body needs to do, whether it's a bacteria, a virus, a fungi, a yeast, whatever. It's supposed to do that. Boom, get rid of you, gone. And environmental toxins as well. So today we're going to focus on microorganisms, in particular viruses, just because that's what because the viruses are what actually are involved in colds and flus. So we have these barriers that the immune system set up to prevent foreign things from getting inside of us. The skin, obviously, right? We have intact skin, and you know that if you cut yourself, you want to protect that area so that outside organisms, dirt, et cetera, don't get in there and cause an infection. But you've also got your intestinal lining, and people don't think about that in terms of helping them through cold and flu season to keep yourself intact. And when your intestinal lining gets disrupted, that's a way for foreign stuff to get into the body. The intestinal lining is really it's not inside of you, it's outside of you. It's actually just like your skin, but it's like this long hollow tube. And if it's broken, same way with the skin, and it allows foreign invaders in, then your immune system has to start a massive attack, and that can create symptoms. Your lungs, et cetera, you know, that's really important, right? What we're breathing into our lungs, there's all this mucus, this what we call immunoglobulin A that lines the mucous membranes, the nose, the lungs, the intestinal tract, and that's like your immune system defense. And we want these things to be healthy. And then the blood-brain barrier. Obviously, if you get, you know, a little virus, you don't want that in your bloodstream floating around to be able to pass into your brain. But in some cases, people have blood-brain barriers that are disrupted and can allow that. So some people end up with encephalitis when they are exposed to various other and sundry things. And so it's really important to keep all those things intact. And the stuff that we're going to talk about in terms of prevention can help you to support all these areas. So macrophages, what are macrophages? The mission is to attack and destroy invaders, and they're a type of white blood cell. This is kind of what they look like. They have all these tentacles, and they have these squirting, they can squirt out lysozyme, which is a dangerous chemical that actually breaks down. It disintegrates the invaders. So it's really set up to grab them. You see those things called pseudopods, grab them and engulf them and get rid of them. And my funny macrophage story is from when my son was about 2 years old, and we'd been I always talked to him on a very high level. He asked lots of questions. I gave him great answers. Because here's my belief is like, you don't know how much those kiddos understand. So why should I talk to him like he's 2 year old? Why don't I talk to him like he's older and then let him ask questions and explain things to him? So we'd been talking about the immune system and colds and, you know, whatever. It was macrophages and what macrophages do. And I explained to him in a way that I just explained to you in a very simple way. You don't have to be a scientist to understand. So Dad, we were traveling and Dad came behind us, and Dad shows up at the hotel sniffling and sneezing and coughing and said, oh, I think I'm coming down with the flu. So little Eric, who's 2 years old, remember, 2 and a half maybe, looks up at Dad and says, Dad, you need more macrophages. And so I wasn't in the room when he said this, and my husband comes to me and says, do you have any macrophages? Eric says, I need those because it's going to help me fight off this cold or flu. So Scott didn't understand what macrophages were, but Eric did. And, you know, we had the friendly discussion in the family. We want to be able to support macrophages. And the reason I bring this up, especially at this time of year, is that macrophages get destroyed by sugar. They get deactivated. So, I mean, there have been lots of studies on this that show different levels of sugar and how much it deactivates the macrophages, but it actually can paralyze your macrophages by having a couple of teaspoons of sugar, can paralyze them for hours, hours, right? And so you go and you say, well, just this once, that little piece of chocolate candy over there is really good. And it looks like it's sweetened with maple syrup, organic, and it should be fine. Macrophages don't differentiate its sugar. It destroys them or it paralyzes them for a time. So really be careful when you're reaching for some of those treats that may be just a treat for you that normally you take care of yourself and you only eat it stevia sweetened treats, but it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's whatever. No, it's destroying your macrophages, and that's going to put you susceptible. And especially if you're at the family house, right, and somebody serves this to you and half the people there are sniffling, right? You do not want to put yourself in that compromised situation in that moment of weakness. So how do you support your immune system? You've got to reduce the toxic load. So these are some of the prevention stuff, and we'll talk about some of the actual during stuff, right? Because if you're fighting off the flu, you're not going to be out there exercising, generally speaking, right? But in general, right now, do this stuff. Make sure you don't let your self-care go to the grave during the holiday season with the hopes that you bring it back up. That's when people get in trouble and end up with the extra weight gain and also the colds and the flus in the winter. So exercise, whatever exercise you can do, reduce your stress using heart math, tapping, meditation, yoga, whatever it is that you use to reduce the stress. Personally, I like heart math because I can do it anytime I want. I also meditate. I also do some yoga, but you have to figure out what that is for you to help you make it through. Keeping your blood sugar balanced, right? Those swings are going to be creating this situation where the macrophages get paralyzed and the vitamin C levels go down and all the things you need are in trouble. So keeping your blood sugar balanced is so super important. Reducing environmental exposure to toxins, right? So eating organically as much as possible. Take an inventory of your home care products. Like, what are you spraying in the air? What's that room deodorizer that's in the bathroom for when, you know, your guests muck up the bathroom? That stuff can be toxic. You're breathing it in. Reduce dietary exposures to toxins and allergens. So that would be like keeping away from things you know you have a sensitivity to, because when you eat something, you go, well, I'm not very badly. I only get a little bit of sneezing for, you know, a couple of days when I eat this, whatever, but it's worth it because it's so good. Well, that's putting your immune system into distraction mode. It's dealing with this allergen. And then when the bugs come along, the colds and the flus, because, you know, Aunt Sarah sneezes on you and then doesn't wash her hands when she's passing around the chocolate chip cookies. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you compromise your immune system. So you want to just keep all these things in mind and keep in mind your end result, which is I want to feel good. I want to feel healthy. I want to stay healthy through this so-called cold and flu season. And of course, you know, the whole fresh, antioxidant, nutrient-rich foods as much as you possibly can. And then repairing leaky gut and eliminating infections. And these are more long-term strategies, but we offer support in this. We have a whole library here in the Vital community. If you're not already a premium member and don't have access to all the archives, I highly recommend that you upgrade. And if you're, it should be on the site how you do that. But if you have any questions about it, you can also write to us at helpdesk@dregamarie.com, because you've got access to a huge library. And I know that in the future, because there's like so much in there and we offer it at such a reasonable investment, that we're probably not going to be offering that complete library. Although anybody who's in gets grandfathered in. Just a little shameless plug, but it's important that you have the resources. And the other way is to work with us, you know, and work with our grand program, our blood sugar balancing program and all that. But I'm giving you a very inexpensive way through Vital. So here's the things that slow down and damage the immune system. We already talked about sugar, but trans and heated fats. So those lovely cookies, right? So you go to the paleo site and you go, okay, I'm going to have the paleo low glycemic cookies for Christmas instead. They're heating them and they're putting almond flour in there. Almonds are very, very sensitive to heat. So if you're baking with almond flour, any kind of nut or seed flour, other than coconut might be able to tolerate it, you're creating trans and oxidized fats, which are zapping your immune system and in addition messing up with your hormones and your neurotransmitters and everything else. So MSG, so the family decides to go out to that local Chinese restaurant or Thai restaurant or whatever. Ask and make sure that they don't have put MSG in your food. Pesticides and preservatives are huge impacts on the immune system. And, you know, we can't control our entire environment, right? If you live in an apartment complex, they're going to be spraying the trees and the grass. So I would say don't play and let your kids roll around in the grass if you know that they've been sprayed. But you have control when it comes to your food. So check out the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 and invest in organic whole foods that don't have pesticides, and certainly don't buy the processed foods that have preservatives in them. Infections. So if you have, you know, you have a toenail fungus that you're not dealing with, that's going to put your immune system in compromise because it's dealing with the toenail fungus. And when the strep comes along, it doesn't have as much juice to fight it off. Artificial colorings and flavorings. So that just goes back to just eat whole food. Don't eat the processed stuff. Don't, like, at the office or at the party, just go, I'll just have one of those. They said they're sugar-free or whatever, diabetic-friendly. No, they're probably loaded with all kinds of artificial colorings and flavorings. You don't need that stuff in your body, and it's compromising you, not just your immune system, but so much more. Your processed grains, and I would venture to say any kind of flour is considered a processed grain, you know, any grain-based flour. So whether it's quinoa flour, millet flour, 100% organic, once it's flour, it's exposing that germ and the inner workings of that food to the environment, and it becomes a processed food. So stay away from flour. You know, eat real whole foods. That's going to support your immune system the very best. Acid forming foods. So if you have the acid alkaline chart and you look at that up and you see that you've got to eat most of your food, 75%, let's say, from the alkaline side. So if you are eating meat or cheese or anything like that, they're very acid forming. So it's teeny tiny bits. I would say cheese is very mucus forming and very hard on the immune system. So be careful with that stuff. Even some of the nuts and seeds and some of the greens and grains, they're more acidic forming. And if you eat a diet that's mostly the standard American diet made healthier, let's just say. So instead of, you know, Captain Crunch or whatever for breakfast, you're having a whole grain or Cheerio type thing and whole wheat toast. And that's what your breakfast is, orange juice and toast and whatever. And then your lunch tends to be a whole wheat flour, you know, sandwich. But there's no greens in there, right? You've got to get your greens in at every single meal if you want to have the support. All right. What else? Inflammatory foods. There's certain foods that are inflammatory. We've done other presentations on those, but there are foods high in arachidonic acid, which would be your animal fat foods and some of the grains like the canola oil and safflower oil and all that. Excuse me. Hopefully you guys can still hear me. Yes. Still hear me? Sorry about the sneeze. Yes. Okay, great. I didn't want to keep going if not. All right. And then cortisol, like we can control it. You can control the release of cortisol. You feel it in your body when you're getting stressed out. And cortisol dampens the immune system. So we have a lot of people who are like stressed out all week long and they're producing all this cortisol by the weekend. They're crashing, getting the colds and flus. And then low thyroid function. Right? Low thyroid function. Lots of people have it. This, when I learned in school, it was like that was a rare condition. Now it's like epidemic. Why? Because of the toxic environment, because of these processed foods, right? Because of all the stuff in our environment, our thyroids aren't functioning well. And, you know, we get damaged by thyroid receptors. So even if you don't have a diagnosed low thyroid condition, you may actually have low thyroid function. And there are two different things. We talked about that in another talk a couple months ago. Really, really important stuff. Super important. So supporting your thyroid, some of the nutrients that support your immune system support your thyroid, like vitamin A. Low vitamin A levels can create thyroid receptor resistance, right? Deficiencies in vitamin B12 and B6 and folic acid, folate, actually create high levels of homocysteine in the body. and homocysteine damages thyroid receptors. So all of these things go into creating an immune system that's not going to be real friendly to you when those cold and flu bugs come along. Okay, I'm trying to get this moving. Why isn't it moving? Okay, let's see if I can get it moving. There we go. All right, so what are some of the nutrients that protect your immune system? What you want to do is not just run out and buy bottles of all of these nutrients and start taking them all the time. Yeah, you can and have them around, and I'll tell you what ones you should have around to support you when you do get into an acute situation. But in general, look these things up. If you're in our ERC program or any PT program, you have access to all of our charts that show like what all foods have these different nutrients in them. WHfoods.com is a source for that. But you want to make sure that you're getting food sources of them, but then have some of these things around for when you need extra, when, you know, your coworker at work or your husband or wife at home are sneezing around and your kids are coming home from school if they go to school, being exposed to all kinds of stuff. You need to make sure these are up. So omega-3 fats, for the most part, most people have a predominance of omega-6 fats. Omega-6 fats are more inflammatory and decrease immune function. So we want to make sure that we have that really nice balance of omega-3 and 6. And again, we have presentations in the Vital Library on all of this stuff, all of this stuff. So you can go back if you're a premium member. If you're not, upgrade to premium and you'll be able to go through the archives and really support yourself. Omega-3 fats. Zinc. Zinc's super important for the immune system. If I even have a hint of a little bit tickle in my throat, I just start sucking on zinc lozenges. It's kind of late when it's 3 days into it to really support. The zinc needs to be right at the beginning, but zinc's super important for the immune system. Selenium. Selenium's super important for thyroid function, and it's important for the immune system, and it's a precursor to glutathione, which is one of the antioxidants, so super important. Vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D, these are all important vitamins for your immune system. And with all of these, like that, well, vitamin C and A, you're going to get good sources in your green leafy vegetables, in your fresh, colorful fruits like blueberries and strawberries loaded with antioxidants, carrots for the beta carotene that can be converted to vitamin A. So it's really important that you keep these levels up. And I'll share with you a few resources for the vitamin C. Vitamin D, super important. So if you're not getting out into the sun, and it's kind of hard in the winter, especially if you live anywhere north of Atlanta, Georgia, you're not going to get anywhere near enough sun in the winter to support you. So you either have to have had plenty of vitamin D stored through the summer or be supplementing with vitamin D. There are some reports that show that this combination, CAD, or DAC, however you want to look at it, or ACD, however you want to remember it, but the ACD combination is super important and can be used at the very first sign of an acute illness. So I kind of go with 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every half hour or hour. You know, I don't always remember it every half hour or hour, but if I wake up with a little tickle, I'm doing the zinc, I'm taking vitamin C every half hour or hour as I remember it. Vitamin A and D for viral infections have been shown that you can take very high doses for a period of 3 to 5 days without compromise, because they are fat soluble. So in general, you don't want to take super high doses. But I've seen studies that show like in the neighborhood of 100,000 IUs of vitamin A and 100,000 IUs of vitamin D, or more if you're much heavier. And you do that for 3 to 5 days and can wipe things out. And I've seen it happen. You don't do that at the start of something, but if it does get hold of you, if you do end up with that flu, you can load up on the A, C, and the D and have tremendous results at knocking it out. Manganese is an important nutrient, and it's part of superoxide dismutase, which is a very important antioxidant for the body. And then sulfur-containing amino acids. Where do we find those? We find those in our cruciferous vegetables and garlic and onions, which is why garlic and onions have such powerful protective effects on the immune system. So we'll look at some of those foods. Oh, I wanted to give you an example of how important zinc is. Zinc's important and it's linked with fatty acids. So if you're eating flax seeds or chia seeds or walnuts or hemp seeds and they have good source of omega-3 and you're doing really well with the other side where you're not having too much of the almonds and the sunflower seeds and you're keeping your omega-6 and 3 in ratio, I always say at most 3 times as much omega-6 as omega-3. 3 to 4 is the ratio that seems to be ideal. So you can have a third as much of the vitamin of the omega-3 as 6. So it's not like you have to have like so much omega-3, but you have to have it in balance. And most people are, you know, they're drinking almond milk. They're getting the containers of that stuff. They're eating, you know, a lot of foods. They're eating the oils and putting them on their foods, and they're omega-6 dominant, which is going to impact your immune system. But here's the deal. Even if you're doing a great job and you're keeping those ratios in order and you're eating plenty of hemp and flax and chia and all that, if you don't have good nutrient status, your body can't convert it, and zinc is one of the primary ones. So you'll see a list here of the V vitamins and vitamin C and zinc and magnesium and biotin and vitamin E. Important for your body to be able to take those omega-3s and convert them down into the longer chain omega-3s, which actually are anti-inflammatory, and I call them your firefighters. So keep that in mind. Zinc's super important, and you may need to really mega dose on zinc for a while in order to get your immune system up to speed. So here's my favorite foods that enhance the immune function. You've probably seen this list over and over because these foods enhance so much. I've added a few extras that are specific to the immune system, but organic, whole, fresh, unprocessed, nutrient-dense fruits, vegetables, greens from both the land and the sea. And if you can swing it and you can deal with the taste or can get some capsules, algae, you know, blue-green algae can be really supportive. Mushrooms, and not just the medicinal mushrooms, but even the little button mushrooms or portobellas, but shiitakes, easy to get at the grocery store, a little on the expensive side, but so, so supportive. You can get shiitake mushroom powder. You know, you can get them dehydrated if it's hard to find them fresh. You can get the medicinal mushrooms like chaga and cordyceps and reishi. Reishi is a super, super immune booster. Garlic. Garlic has allicin in it. And that's, so deodorized garlic doesn't work because allicin is taken out of deodorized garlic because that's the one that has all the immune properties, but has the odor. Oh boy. So not deodorized garlic, but real garlic. And in fact, if you could get 6 raw cloves of garlic in you, you could probably knock something out. A friend of mine took this to the test and he was away and he didn't have all his stuff with him, his nutrients and stuff. So he just got this head of garlic and he opened up 6 cloves and he just swallowed them like they were pills. And he knocked this thing out in a few hours. So if you can tolerate it or you can smush it into guacamole, or usually fat will help to decrease the strength of it, but up to 6 cloves raw. So if you're making a soup, like a miso soup or a vegetable soup, you can heat the soup, but right at the end, you can just crush the garlic in and then drink it so it doesn't get cooked and destroy the allicin. Bell peppers, super important. High dose, high vitamin C. I prefer the red or the yellow or the orange to the green. They're much higher nutrient density. But things like ginger and turmeric, I put these things in my smoothies every day. Ginger and turmeric are phenomenal for enhancing immune function. And omega-3 rich seeds, like I said before, makes a big difference. And you can even get algae oil with your omega-3s in there to help support your immune system. So let's talk a little bit about herbs, because a lot of people get confused as to what herbs they should take. They say, oh, astragalus. I heard astragalus is great. Don't take astragalus when you have a flu. Take it before, right? It's an immune modulator, not an immune stimulator, okay? So you want to take immune stimulators while you're in the state of having something happening, like you've got this bacteria, or usually it's a virus, in you. So garlic, there's something called wild indigo. You can get a tincture of it. Very powerful, especially for sinus conditions. Myrrh, you know, the old frankincense and myrrh, the Christmas story. Frankincense and myrrh are phenomenal for immune system support. Echinacea. Echinacea can go either way. It can be an immune modulator or an immune stimulator. Boneset is another one. Elderberry. People in the olden days used to make elderberry tea and elderberry jam. I'm not a big fan of elderberry jam because they add sugar to it, but if you can get elderberry, I've bought little elderberries at Mountain Rose Herbs, and you can soak them and you can blend them into a smoothie. Don't try to do it without soaking them because they are rather hard. So you can soak them, put them in there. You can munch on them if you want to. They're a little bit on the sour, bitter side, but not bad tasting at all. Or you can get a tincture of it. Spilanthes, people don't look at very much, and Usnea. Those are really, I usually think about them for when there's really bad sinus gunk, like the sinus stuff is thick and you can't breathe and it's really hard. And with Usnea, like it smells really bad. It's like there is definitely infection in the sinuses. Those can work really well. You can get tinctures, you can do teas, et cetera. Modulators, these are the things you're going to take leading up to, not when you have a cold or a flu, but leading up to it to support your immune system. So astragalus, the ginseng, Siberian panax, American, all of them, cordyceps, reishi, shiitake mushrooms, ligustrum is a specific fruit. You can get it as an herbal tincture. Holy basil, I love drinking my Tulsi tea, right? They're so easy to get now. There's Organic India, I think, is one of the brands, and they have a bunch of different flavors. They have Tulsi tea with turmeric and ginger in it. How about that for supporting you? And as the weather gets cooler and you're trying to just like keep yourself healthy, it's a great thing to do. Rhodiola, you be a little careful with rhodiola because it can be a little stimulating if you use too little. That's kind of interesting, and it can be very calming if you use a lot. So play, you know, if you want to do rhodiola, really read up on it and make sure. But Shizandra, loves Shizandra. It's an adaptogen as well as immune modulator. And again, like the elderberries, you can soak these little berries and put them in things. You can, you know, add them to desserts, add them to smoothies, add them to whatever sauces or dressings you're doing. And ashwagandha, which is, again, an adaptogen. So you'll see a lot of the immunomodulators are also adaptogens. So they're really good for balancing stress levels, which, again, what does balancing stress level do? It supports your immune system. There we go. So here's some forms that you can use. So I've mentioned tinctures a few times. I've mentioned tea. You can also get them in capsules. You can get powders and add them to stuff. I have a lot of mushroom powders, and I vary them from day to day, and I make my little mushroom teas and just stir the powders in or add my powders if I'm making, like if I'm right around the holidays, I'll tend to make little chocolates that are stevia or monk fruit or combination sweetened. And I always add some kind of powdered herb that people don't know about. But I like to give people, you know, a support in their candy. And I've had these, I've made them with licorice. I've made them with cordyceps. I've made them with reishi. Just be careful flavor-wise, test and taste. But you can use those powders in anything. So if you're trying to support it for your family members, just sneak some of these things into their food. It's really helpful. You can make elixirs. You've seen my recipes for elixirs over and over again. I have a really great little book. If you haven't already gotten it, it's hormoneelixirs.com. And I actually have a chart in that book that has a list of if you want to support the immune system, if you want to support bones, if you want to support adrenals, and what herbs can you use to make these elixirs. So elixirs are fun. You can make them fun and tasty so you can get your family members to do them. Steams, right? People have done eucalyptus steams. You boil a big pot and you put your head over it and you breathe in the steam. Or you could use a humidifier and do it that way. And topical, like putting them on topically. Essential oils work really well, putting them on topically really, really well. Here's some immune system essential oils. So, you know, don't just go and get all of them. You know, read up on them. And if you're in ERC, you have access to our book. I think we might have, I don't know if that's for sale or not. I have a little book that just lists my favorite essential oils. But you read up on them. Oregano and thyme tends to be really potent antivirals. So if we're in the middle of a cold or a flu, I mean, really important. I think making an Italian soup, here's what I used to do for my son. I would take some carrots, celery, and broccoli, and I'd steam it up with a bunch of water. I'd put it in a pot with a bunch of water just till it was slightly tender. Celery also we put in there. And then I'd take it all and I'd put it in the blender. And I put it in there with oregano and thyme and basil and make this really nice Italian creamy soup that literally within hours he was feeling better. And it's interesting because we did this when he was little, and over the summer, last summer when he, or the summer before when he was home all summer after he graduated college, he basically had gotten this headache and he was feeling achy, and we were, you know, trying to figure it out for a few. He goes, Mom, I wonder if that soup you used to make me is going to help, because I feel like I'm nauseous. I don't want to eat anything. Can you make me some of that soup? And he'd been dealing with this for days. I wasn't feeling so hot. And he said, and you know, of course, when they're in their 20s, they don't tell you, right? They don't tell you until it gets really bad. They don't like come to you every sniffle like they do when they're little. But anyway, I made this soup for him and he was able to take it. He didn't get nauseous. He felt good. And within 3 hours, the headache was gone and he was feeling better. So it's really potent and you can make these very therapeutic foods for your family, for yourself. But I love those hot soups and I love putting ginger and turmeric in them. I love adding some coconut to it. There's all kinds of ways that you can make it. If somebody's in a situation where they tend to be very cold, coconut's probably not a good choice because it tends to be cooling. But those herbs like cayenne and ginger and turmeric can make it awesome. So here's some of the essential oils that can be added to food, or they can be done in a diffuser so you can smell them, or they can be done topically, right? Frankincense, super, super powerful for the immune system. All of these are. Oops, let me find my thing. All right. Where are we? Okay, so I'm having to go forward. All right. So what are some of the essential oils specifically for colds and flus? Oregano, lemon, cinnamon, frankincense, peppermint, and eucalyptus. And again, you can have this dehumidifier going off with the steam coming into the room. You can do a diffuser in the room. You can put some on the feet and around the nose. You could take them internally. So all of these can be very, very helpful. So here's a sample regime. This is what I would do if I woke up with a tickle. I would start with 1 to 2 grams per hour. You slow down if you start to hit your bowel tolerance, but you really want to hit it. You can avoid the bowel tolerance issues mostly by using liposomal vitamin C. Liposomal vitamin C is much, much more expensive. So I always tell people, use as much liposomal as you can afford and do the rest as a buffered C. Now, if you're in the middle of trying to fight off a cold or a flu and you've got travel you're supposed to be doing, screw the expense. Use 10 to 12 to 15 grams of the liposomal. That'll cost you $15. And do it because it can wipe things out. Some studies have shown that it's as effective as doing IV vitamin C. It is cheaper than doing IV vitamin C as well. So even though it's expensive compared to your powdered vitamin C, it's going to be a lot less than going to the doctor or if you can even find somebody who would give you IV vitamin C. So liposomal, I would get some liposomal, keep it on hand. I keep it in the refrigerator. I buy mine in a bottle from Seeking Health. You can also buy them in the little packets that are portable. If you're traveling, they're just, it keeps it safe and you don't have to keep it in the fridge. They're just little packets from Live On Labs, I think. So either way, have liposomal and buffered vitamin C on hand at all times. I personally like the powder because you can control the amount. Zinc. I take it every half hour to an hour if I feel it early on. And I reduce it to 4 times a day or gargle with the liquid zinc. And that right away, first sign of a little tickle. Don't wait for, oh, is this a cold? I wonder if I have a cold. Screw it. Just do it. I love my herbal throat spray. And I use it a lot when I'm doing events because my throat tends to get sore and it's got some slippery elm and other things in it. But it's got great immune support stuff. So at the first sign of any kind of that cold, if I'm just spraying that herb spray in my throat whenever I feel like I need it. Oregano oil. Put 1 or 2 drops in 16 to 32 ounces of water, do it to tolerance, and I'll do that a few times a day. There's a particular one called On Guard from doTERRA that I like, and there's also one from Young Living called, what's the name of it? I love it. It's in this kind of maroon-colored box. Thieves. And they're both, they're similar blends and they work really well. And I carry those when I travel. I'll just carry one or the other or both of those. And also this other stuff, I just carry it when I travel in case something comes up. Colloidal silver can be helpful as well. You can get a spray, you can get a liquid, you could do it. There's a bunch of different brands that you can get. I think Sovereign is one that they sell at the health food stores. So these are things to have on hand throughout the season, to carry with you if you're traveling, to make sure that you are equipped if something comes up. And you just do this frequently. Now, if you're in the throes of it, you're going to have to do it more, but I want to help you to prevent. So here's some of the other tips. Begin to supplement at the very first sign, even a minor tickle in your throat, a little bit of sniffles, weepy eyes, sneezing more than usual, lower than usual energy, any kind of aches or pains. And supplement very often, once an hour is not too frequently. Plenty, plenty, plenty of pure water. And guess what? avoid all sweets, including fruit. I mean, if you tolerate a little bit of blueberries, fine. Depends on how bad you are, but you're gonna suppress those macrophages if you do too much fruit. And then avoid hard to digest foods. So I highly recommend, if you're dealing with a cold or a flu and you want to get rid of it quickly, go to an all liquid approach. Omega-3 type or balanced omega-3 6 nut milks can be fine. Soak them first to make them more digestible. The soup I just described, where you make a bunch of veggies and you put them in the blender with a bunch of herbs, that's a great approach. And if you make a big pot of this soup, here's a tip, blend it up, but don't add all the herbs until you start to serve it. Because on day one, maybe you want to have it with ginger and turmeric and cayenne. And day two, you want to have it with all the Italian herbs and the garlic. Okay, so you can actually make the batch of it, putting it in glass jars in your refrigerator, and then warm it up each day and then add your specific herbs to it. Okay. It would be helpful if you have somebody to help you do this if you're in the throes of a flu and you're really feeling badly, but it's simple stuff. And if you have the things on hand and you have recipes on hand, it's great. So here's again, simple food plan, right? Green smoothies, savory recipe with garlic, ginger, oregano, thyme, turmeric, those really good, powerful herbs, and nutrients, omega-3 rich seeds. Don't eat the nuts. Drink a chia seed beverage or hemp seed milk or something like that. And really, the nuts tend to be more omega-6 rich, and they tend to be harder to digest. Vegetable soup, just exactly what I just told you. Green juice, add garlic and herbs to it, and oregano oil. Add it to whatever you can. Add it to it. It's great for adding it to your salad dressings, right? You just add a little bit of oregano oil, thyme oil, and you're going to enhance that. You can also add the fresh herbs as well. So I want to just switch back to vitamin C, because I mentioned this briefly, but I want to talk to you about the therapeutic uses of vitamin C. You can do a vitamin C flush, and what that means is you're basically up-leveling your vitamin C. You're starting the day, and you're not doing this in the middle of a cold and flu, by the way. This is something you'd do beforehand, especially this time of year leading into this season, to support you. You do a vitamin C flush, which basically means you're taking about 2 grams of vitamin C every half hour until you have an evacuation that's like you gave yourself an enema. You calculate how much vitamin C it took to get there. And then what you do is you take about 75% of that on a regular basis. Some people with irritable bowel and their stomachs are just a little bit sensitive, that's not a good way to do it. Instead, start with a gram of vitamin C 3 times a day. And it's really important to spread it out. The vitamin C will not stay in your system more than 6 hours, so you have to constantly replenish it. So you do that 3 times a day, then you add a fourth one, a fifth one, and you keep going until you get to bowel tolerance. If you have the cold or flu come on, then you bump it up even higher. Usually by the time, if you bump it up and you start to get to bowel tolerance midday, usually by then the symptoms are dissipating. So it works really well. You can also get IV vitamin C or IM vitamin C that, requires a holistic functional medicine type doc. Not every town has them and it's expensive. But like I said, the liposomal can be a godsend. So even if you don't take it as your day-to-day vitamin C because of the expense, maybe take a gram of it every day and then save it, but always have it on hand in case something comes up. So vitamin C, you can actually get, it's very high in your typical plant-based foods, right? So vitamin C, getting it in food, but you can also add some of the powdered vitamin C to these. So if you find that the taste of the powdered vitamin C is hard or you just want to get it in throughout the day, you can add some powdered vitamin C to smoothies, sauces, soups, salad dressings, nut milk. You can, add that to a salad, and then the salads are going to be loaded with vitamin C. That particular picture, the white stuff is, I think it's that ricotta cheese, Kite Hill almond ricotta cheese. And then in elixirs are great ways to do it. And then here's some pretty pictures. So if you can get some of these herbs, mountain rose herbs, a great source. If you can get these things to add to your daily regime, to your smoothies, your soups, and everything else, this is a way to add vitamin C to your food. Rose hips, camu camu, usually can get that as a powder. Amla, you can usually get that as a powder. It'd be great if you can find the fresh berries. They're beautiful. Acerola cherry, right? You can get that. It's oftentimes fortified in there. and goji berries. Goji berries are a good source of vitamin C. So this is a way that you can incorporate it into your food, into your daily life. And there's a list of the top 12 vitamin C rich herbs and spices. And we forget about spices, right? We think about the foods, but they're very, very dense, right? Here's coriander. It's got 500 milligrams of vitamin C, right? In how big is it? Fat milligrams, sugar milligrams. Yeah, I'm not sure what the serving size is, but they're very high. Thyme, parsley, dill, saffron, cloves, cayenne, rosemary, marjoram, tarragon, dill, and thyme. So as you start to just think about how do I incorporate more of these herbs into my dips, in my smoothies, into my soups, into my stir fries. If you're doing it in stir fries, I'd wait until the end so you don't kill off the vitamin C because it's very heat sensitive. But this is a way that you can do this on your own. You've got some strategies for the acute. You've got some strategies for immune system modulation and boosting beforehand. And it's just a lot of the just same diet things that I talk about all the time. Whole foods, plant-based, antioxidant-rich diet. So thank you guys for listening, for being here. I hope that this was super helpful for you. And I'm open for questions. So what I'm going to do is stop recording. And then I'll start a new recording for the questions. So I'll stop that, and then I'll start a new one. So questions you can put into the chat. You can raise your hand. Star 2 on your telephone keypad raises your hand. You have a questions in the chat, or you can put it in the Q&A box. I don't see anything in the Q&A box. And star 2 raises your hand. I don't see hands raised, but go ahead. Star 2 raises your hand. And then I'm going to go to the chat. Rich says he's dancing wildly without his neck brace. Woohoo! Yay, way to go. Just don't overdo it, honey. I don't want to see you hurting again. PT 3 times a week. Awesome. Rich had a car accident a few months ago when his neck was in a neck brace for 3 months. Ugh. And the nutrition is super important. And a lot of the stuff you're doing to support your healing from the musculoskeletal is going to support your immune system as well. But the last thing you want to do is after all that is to get a cold or flu and start coughing. Lynn says, I was blowing you away. I hope I didn't go too fast, but I had a lot I wanted to cover, and I want to make sure that you have it. And you have the slides, too. So Lynn put up some links. If you go to Vital Health Community and scroll down, you'll read more about the premium. And there should be a link somewhere on your site that says upgrade to premium. HormoneElixirs.com, she put the link in for. She also put in the link for the Seeking Health. Wow, that's what I did. All right. So Paula says, wow, great. So much info. Thanks. So I guess I gave you so much info. There's no questions. I'm going to go here. Refresh. Yeah, we have a couple of questions. Rich, how much does cold weather reduce immunity? Well, you know what it is, Rich? It's your body has to work harder to keep you warmer. So whenever you distract your body with external environmental type problems, it will distract away from immune system. And that's one of the reasons why we have colds and flus more in the winter. The other is, of course, the proximity to the holidays. So yeah, so when you're making a transition, it's mostly the transition that's a problem. So if you bundle yourself up and you put on the warm socks, I have these amazing socks that I'm wearing today because I had my my women's group has this holiday gift exchange thing. And there's like eight of us there. And we kind of, you know, everybody brings a gift and we do this round robin thing and we end up with a gift. And I ended up with these amazing Christmas socks that have nice little things at the bottom, those little rubbery things, so I don't slip if I'm doing yoga. But they're lined with this. It's like really thick and lined and it keeps my feet warm. So make sure you keep your feet and your head warm when you're going to go outside. Bundle up and go out. Don't allow yourself to suddenly be hit by, oof, you know, that sudden change, right? So that's what's important. Because cold is actually good for the immune system if it's done in a way that's controlled, not by like dumping you into the elements. All right. Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I am right there with you with the zinc and the vitamin C and all of that. But I'm also going to put a plug in for you as a chiropractor. I always make sure I go to my chiropractor right away when I start feeling that imbalance. And that really, really helps me out.
Absolutely, because it stimulates the immune system. So if your nerve flow is like, and we tend to get like, we get tight and all this, and when we can get somebody to work on the body and open it up and get the vertebrae working and the nerve supply working, it's really super important. And I'll plug in also acupuncture. Acupuncture can be very, very helpful. And learning self-acupuncture as well, or acupressure, right? There's certain immune-supporting things. One of the things I like, I'll just put in another interesting thing, is I studied Korean hand acupuncture. And you've got the whole mapping of the body on the hands, on the palms and on the back of the hands. And if you were to take a retractable pen with the point in, not out, or some sort of a pointer device. I use, there's these things for embossing you can get at Michael's. And you just poke around on your hands. And when you find a spot, you're just doing a light push. And when you find a spot that when you do that light push, you feel like, what you can get, and you can get these on Amazon, is these little pellets that you can have a little sticky on them and you stick them on acupuncture points. And that can help support you in your immune system. Like without going through a, you know, 2-day course in how to do that and what points are for what. You just like sit around when you're, you know, watching TV or watching your kids do soccer practice or whatever. And you just start poking around. You'll find some of those spots. And especially the head is the middle finger, the tip of the middle finger, front and back. So the back of the head would be the back of the finger and the front of the head. So if you poke around there, you'll find the spots related to sinuses. You'll find the spots related to your nose, right? And if you head down that finger, you're going to get into the neck where all those lymphatics are. So you can just see if there's any spots there. The other thing you can do is get on your neck and do a lymphatic drainage massage, because this can be really helpful as well. And it's a light, lymphatic drainage is a light massage. It's not deep tissue. And you basically can go down, you know, the big muscle that goes down from your the back of your chin or right behind your ear down to the front part where your clavicles are. That's called the sternocleidomastoid, SCM for short. And that SCM in the front of it and the back of it are lymphatic glands, all your lymph, and they shouldn't be swollen. But when you get a cold or a flu, you're going to find that some of these are swollen underneath your jaw, along that muscle, sometimes at the back of the skull. And if you just get on there and lightly do circular massage and just move your way down, you want to get it downwards towards where the ducts are that it drains into, which is right by your clavicle. So if you just do this light massage down, like with the intention of just pulling it all down so you can get rid of the lymph that's working hard for you. I mean, the lymph gets swollen because there's this immune tissue and it's trying to fight off whatever's in you. And you just want to help your body to expel it by pulling it down and getting it into the lymph ducts. So that's another option too. Thanks. I've completely left out the physical medicine pieces.
Well, that's because you had such other great content.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that reminder. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Oh, I wanted to also say, when I said you blew us away, that was when you sneezed.
Oh, when I sneezed. Okay, yes. Thank you. I'm going to have to get somebody to edit that out. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Excellent info to share with others. Yeah, Susan, it is. You know, so any of you who are on, I see a bunch of you on who are practitioners or studying to be practitioners, that this is great stuff, and you can, you know, add it to your kind of regime of what do you do and how do you talk to people. A lot of people will say, well, I tried this and I tried that, but they don't do it to the extent that I do it. I mean, I'm really aggressive because the worst that's going to happen, I'm going to get some diarrhea. I mean, seriously. And I'm really aggressive with that approach. And in fact, it reminds me I have to get on Emerson Ecologics and order some more zinc lozenges because I'm out. We went to get some for somebody who was here and sniffling, and I went, oh, I don't have any zinc lozenges left. So anyway, it's always good to have that stuff around because it's like you don't want to have to run out when somebody's sick or when you get sick. All right. I think that's it. I don't see any other questions.
There are some questions in the Q&A that just came in.
Oh, okay. Valerie. Would you use an infrared sauna once you feel something coming on, or should you avoid it? I have mixed feelings about that. I think it's great to do the infrared sauna as a preventative. My concern is the chill factor, right? You get really hot and then you step out and you're chilly. You get that cold sweat. I mean, I would play it by ear and see. I mean, certainly sweating away the toxins is a great idea. The other way to do it is you fill a bathtub and hotter water as you can stand. You dump a bunch of powdered ginger in there. You can also juice a lemon and throw that in there and just get in there, apple cider vinegar even, and get in there and get as hot as you can. As soon as the water starts to cool down, you get out immediately, wrap yourself in towels, and get under the covers and sweat. So that's a good way if you have a fever. So the infrared sauna might actually be helpful for a fever. We think about putting people into something cold when they have a fever, but actually the better way, maybe not necessarily as comfortable way, but is to bring the temperature up. Like, don't put the kid into the cold water, put them in the hot water. But you have to be comfortable with that and double check in with your doctor before you do that if there's any contraindications. Obviously, if somebody has 104, 105 fever, you don't want to bring it up. But if they've got that viral kind of fever, which just makes you a little achy, and it's 99 to 100, 101 even, then you might as well just like push the body to push that fever up, because the higher the temperature goes, the more you're going to fight off the bacteria. When we bring fever down, I forgot to say that, but when you bring fever down, you're actually getting in the way of your immune system. So, you know, I'd be really careful about bringing a fever down. Always try to get it up if it's not too high. You know, and sweating it out is a really good way to do it. Just get under the covers and sweat like crazy. Put on the warmest socks and the sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff. So that's a good question. All right. I don't see any others. Let's see if there's any others in the chat. Nothing else in the chat. No other hands. So thank you guys for being here. We have all of our vital stuff ended up in 1 week. So we actually have a Q&A call tonight. So if you have any questions about anything, you know, any of your health-related stuff that you want to get answered tonight, tonight's the last one of the year. And then on Saturday, we'll be in my kitchen, and Karen Osborne's going to be here, and we're going to share some really fun celebration-type foods that you can use, not just for the holidays now, but holidays anytime where you want to have special foods. Well, you know, you don't just want to have steamed vegetables and salad and, you know, something really minimal that's healthy but isn't celebration food. And we're going to be talking about that. And I'm hoping that my husband is going to show the cheesecake that he made for Thanksgiving, but he just informed me that he has a holiday party at his dojo, so I may not, but I will do it if he doesn't. And there's a couple of other things that I make special and he makes special. He grew up Jewish and I grew up Catholic, so we celebrate both of those, Hanukkah and Christmas. And the tradition for Hanukkah is latkes, and Hanukkah just started yesterday, last night, and latkes, which is potato pancakes. Well, potatoes aren't the best food for glycemic control, so I have a recipe where instead of using potatoes, you shred up broccoli stems, and it's very similar. So I'm hoping that we can show that as well, because even if you're not Jewish and don't celebrate Hanukkah, it's a really great food. And what happened 1 year is I made them for my kids. My husband was traveling, so he wasn't there to make them. So I made them, and I said, I'm going to make them with broccoli instead of potatoes. And so I did, and we lit the candle. So it was dark in the room, and they're eating there, and they loved them. And then when we turned on the lights, and they're like looking at, they go, Mommy, why are the latkes green? So my secret got out of the bag. The latkes were green. They're very light green because it's the stems. But anyway, it's a great way that you can take traditional recipes. What does your family like to make? And make them in ways that are much more healthy for you. I did that on our show in November where I showed how I make my Thanksgiving stuffing. You know, and it tastes similar to my mom's, but it was made with all these great nuts and seeds and veggies. So it's like really just thinking outside the box and helping to support you, not just at the holidays, but all the time, whenever you want to make a really special meal for somebody's birthday even. All right, so what I'm going to do is I am going to open up the line so you guys can all say goodbye to each other. I'll go to interactive, right? Hello and bye, and have a wonderful time. And if I see you tonight and Saturday, wonderful. And if not, have amazing holiday season. Enjoy. Tune in to what this is really about, which is connection and love. and self-love is a big part of it. So much love. Bye-bye.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Bye.